ESPN. From the latest happenings on the diamond.
Still getting on base a lot with walks. We have not seen the power as much as we have, but he's having really good at-bats.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I mean, yeah, a charcuterie board is just like, you know, peak bougie. Let's just be honest, right? Like, if you really think about the concept, like, you're just throwing some meat and cheese on a plate.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group's exclusive best used car selection of over 600 of your favorite cars, trucks, and SUVs. Visit any of their 8 locations or shop online at ewaldauto.com. Ewald Automotive, where we make it easy.
One of our favorite points of the week when we get a chance to catch up with Sophia Minert, who has been grinding with those Milwaukee Brewers. Saw a big win from our crew. Sophia, great to have you. How are things going with our Brew crew?
I mean, so far so good. You know, I think, you know, over the weekend it was a tough series against the Braves. You know, and they lost the first game here in Cincinnati, but I think last night was a good win for them. You know, Freddie Peralta was sharp, and Josh Hader got his 500th strikeout, which is just insanity. And now they're sitting on 20 wins for the season. So hopefully they can get another series win this afternoon.
Can I ask you a question, Sophia? Do you have to, like, train your brain to be in baseball mode? Because we got Gabe over here. No, I'm serious. Like, because obviously we're in the NBA playoffs, and the Bucks are playing Game 5 tonight against the Celtics, and Gabe, like, is living and dying by every single game. Sometimes every single quarter in possession, depending on how the Bucks are playing. And you exist in this space where you kind of just have to stay even for the duration of the baseball season. That's why I'm always surprised by, like, how you have trained yourself to do that. Was that, like, a conscious decision by you?
I think honestly, the schedule and the season just forces you to do that. You really can't. I mean, yes, I think some games are more intense than others. Like, I would say last night was a long game. You know, you think you're cruising along. There's a 3-run lead. And then the eighth inning gets a little hairy. And now it's a 1-run lead. Now there's runners on base, right? I think there are definitely tense moments where I think you have that. But look, you know, the reality is game 20 or 30 of the Major League Baseball season is not going to have the same intensity as, like, the NBA playoffs. And I think you feel that too when you get to September and when you get to the baseball playoffs. Like, it just, the intensity does ramp up and you feel that, and then you are really kind of living and dying by every pitch, it feels like. But yeah, I mean, I think there are those tense situations within spots of the games, but I think you would absolutely lose your mind if you were to go on that emotional roller coaster every inning, every game, every series. I think because you just know, like, no matter what happens today, good, bad, ugly, there's another game right in front of you the next day, right? Like, last night, 4-hour game, ugly at times, but you pull out a win, you enjoy it for that moment, and then, you know, they're getting ready for first pitch at 12:40 today.
Do the coaches have to do anything to battle that? Because in football, if we played a Monday night game, let's say against Tampa Bay, and then the following week, we would play Detroit on regional TV. That week, mm-hmm. before Detroit, Holmgren would be screaming and yelling, even though we came off of a big win beating whoever, Tampa Bay mm-hmm. or Dallas or whatever. And that we knew that week was going to be terrible just because of a lesser opponent, and he was so afraid of the letdown. Do coaches do anything special?
Sure. No, it's kind of funny because I feel like coaches probably do wear maybe the emotions and the stress and all of that. They wear it differently than the players do, right? Because I think they put in these just insanely long days of prep and meetings and reports and video, and they're trying to find every edge, and they're trying to help every player, and there's just so much time and energy invested into these players. And then the game, you know, then the game starts, and then, like, you give up control, right? I think that's the hard part for the coaches, is then you give up the control. You feel like you've done everything you possibly can to give them this preparation, and then you know, you they go out there and they do it. And I think for the players, like, you know, the way that Christian Yelich has always described it to me is like, if you have a good day, you sit in your uniform and you enjoy it. And once you shower, it's over, right? And I think the same goes when it's a bad day. Like, you sit in your uniform and you wear it and you, you know, commiserate about it, complain about it, vent, whatever, do whatever you need to do. And then you shower and it's over. Like, I think that's just, I think for the coaches and for the players, I think that's just how you have to handle it.
Sophia, when it comes to a couple of pitchers who have, the numbers just don't look great for Brandon Woodruff and Devin Williams, who had another rough outing last night, even though he had kind of put together some good ones, but the strikeout numbers are still there. So is this just kind of a belief of, okay, these guys are going to figure it out. They've just kind of been unlucky. They've had a couple of rough outings, but because of their past success, we're not that concerned about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I wouldn't use the word concerned. You know, we talked to Woody after his start, and he's just as frustrated as anybody, right? Because he feels like he's close. You know, in his previous start against the Reds, it was the 12 strikeouts that he, like you mentioned. And so, I mean, look, he knows what he's capable of. Like, when you perform at that high of a level and you know what you're capable of, I think you're always kind of chasing that feeling, and you want to get back to that place where it feels effortless, right? Like, the, you know, the way he talks about it is like, you're out there on the mound and you're playing catch, but the ball is coming out of your hand at 98 and it's going where you want. Like, that's the feeling that you're looking for. And it just hasn't been there for him as consistently as what he would like, but he has been here before. You know, he knows how to fix it. He's going to put in the work. Like, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's as competitive and hardworking as they come. So I think with Woody, you're confident that he'll figure it out. And then I think with Devin, you know, he was really good his last probably seven appearances. We were talking about how efficient he had been. It was like 15 pitches or less in his last handful of appearances. And then last night, it just sort of snowballed on him, and it was a long appearance and not able to get out of the inning. We've seen that, you know, we saw that at the earlier part of the season. But, you know, the Reds also had good at-bats against him. Like, they really made him work. And we've actually seen that really the last 2 days. So, look, these guys, they will make the adjustments and they'll figure it out.
Sophia Minert joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as she does each and every Wednesday morning during the baseball season. Sophia, one of the things we've been talking about this morning is I realized yesterday that they are remaking Father of the Bride. Father of the Bride, the great movie with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Kimberly Williams and Diane Keaton. I mean, it was a fantastic cast. It was a fantastic movie. It gets you right in the feels, especially if you have a great relationship with your dad, like I know that you do. What is a movie that you do not want them to remake? The original was so good, or you have some connection to the original where you're like, please do not try to make it better.
Yeah, Father of the Bride. I just saw that too, right? Because it's like it's got a different vibe to it, right?
It's like Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan. There you go, Gabe. I got it all right. On my own. Like, she's all growing. By myself.
It's like a Miami vibe. Am I wrong about that? I didn't really read too much about it. But.
Yeah. Well, neither did I, to be honest with you, because I was like, no, no, no. What is that? I was doing the gif from The Office.
Okay, you guys are probably going to judge me really hard for this one, but Titanic. I don't think you can remake Titanic because it was such an iconic movie. Like, for me in my childhood.
We already
Leo
bashed
and
it.
Kate.
Sophia, here's the thing about Titanic and why they should remake it. If they remade it, they could make it right, which would be Jack gets saved because what's her name? She kills Jack.
Like,
name? That's what happens. Rose kills Jack.
But what would we debate for the last like 20 years, right?
Whether or not he could have fit on the door, exactly.
Whether he could have fit on the door.
She's saying the movie sparked one of the great generational debates.
We'd get the answer finally. That would be helpful.
I mean, it was like an iconic movie in my generation. I mean, I went to the theater multiple times at all the Titanic persons. I mean, it was great.
Multiple times at the theater.
Really?
Oh, I knew so many people that saw that movie 5+ times
so
in the theater.
So she really got sucked
in. Is that the one you were making out to the whole movie?
No making out. I didn't even know it was a date.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
no, it was a date?
I didn't know it was a date. That's what I said. We were pals. He asked me to go to Titanic with him. I said yes. It was 3 hours. Didn't know that going into it. Wish I had.
Sounds like a loophole.
Making so out Titanic, Schindler's List.
Titanic is a good one. I mean, again, I don't think that they could remake Titanic. We got a lot of reaction and suggestions on the First Midwest Bank talk and text line, Sophia. Somebody said Sandlot. Somebody said The Princess Bride. Somebody said Varsity Blues. Remember the Titans. You can't Varsity remake Blues. Remember the
that
Titans.
Like, Mrs. Doubtfire. Why would anybody remake Varsity Blues?
Mrs. Doubtfire is a great one. We don't think that anybody could do that role as well as Robin Williams did. League of Their Own. Don't remake League of Their Own. And then Carrie from Mayville, who called in earlier to let us know that Father of the Bride actually was a remake, which really threw us for a loop, said Gone with the Wind. See, I think you could remake Gone with the Wind.
But again, it's just so hard to take a movie from the 30s and fast forward it almost 100 years, like with the advancements of technology. Like, I just feel like so much of the vibe of that movie would be lost with the trying to modernize it.
Didn't Gone with the Wind get in some trouble anyway? Wasn't there some like retroactive issue with some of the representation and stuff like that? I mean, I think I believe it takes place on a plantation in the South, which again was representative of the time and whatnot. So I'm not sure. There are some movies that just based on the topic you couldn't remake. Well, you guys were mentioning some of those, you know, like with
Big Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, you could never do Blazing Saddles.
Ashton really is stuck on the fact that Big is the story of a teenage boy who ends up having
it's just kind of weird
relations with a grown woman.
You really think about it, real weird movie.
How about The Dirty Dozen?
What about it?
Remake it.
Now, I'm against, like, again, remaking movies. It just doesn't make sense. Like, come up with something different. Like, I don't know why you would ever want to remake a movie.
Any movie ever?
I'm out on all remakes.
When you think about, like, iconic movies, I think to me it's, like, so much of it is the casting, right?
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Doubtfire, right? It's like you couldn't. Robin Williams was a perfect Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, who else could do that role?
No one. Absolutely not.
Why would you sign up for that role, Sophia? Like, some roles are just so iconic. Like, I can't imagine a movie studio going to an actor like, hey, we want you to play the Robin Williams role in Mrs. Doubtfire. Why would you say yes to that? You're setting yourself up for failure.
Is it because Hollywood's lazy? You know?
Well, that's what we were saying, is that they've run out of ideas. Like, it's always interesting to see every year at the awards, guys, like, what is in, like, original screenplay, and then what is in the other category, which is essentially something that has been reworked, redone, remade.
Well, it's, you know, and I know there's a series about, like, The Godfather and how that got made, but that, like, movie studios today don't seem like they want to take that risk of putting out a Godfather or doing something like that, because that's a risk. They know, oh, this movie was popular then. If we put it out, people will go see it. It's why the Marvel movies continue to get churned out at a big pay, because Disney knows people are going to pay to go see this movie in the movie theater.
Sophia, the other one that we heard was Silence of the Lambs. Like, who would take on the Anthony Hopkins role of Hannibal Lecter, right? Somebody also said the one we were talking about with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men. Who would take on those roles, right? Like, those performances are so iconic. They're burned in your brain. I can't imagine somebody being like... But again, I would have said the same thing, guys, about some of the Joker portrayals in the Batman movies. Like, we thought, like, some of the villain portrayals were so epically good. Heath Ledger, for instance. We were like, nobody will ever be a better Joker than Heath Ledger. R.I.P. I'm pretty sure he is, in fact, dead.
Yep, he's gone. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure. Listen, I'm going to check on everybody now that I've taken out a few people who are actually still alive. But then you had Jared Leto roll in, and people were impressed with his portrayal of the Joker as well.
Were they?
I mean, some people.
And then Joaquin Phoenix, right? He was Joaquin Phoenix, the last Joker.
Phoenix was the last Joker.
He was incredible.
Yeah, he was really good. But it's not that same role. It's the same title, but it's a different portrayal of that, because it's not like they dropped him into the Dark Knight. They gave him, it was like an origin story for Phoenix.
For lack of a better term. All right, Sophia, great chatting with you. Have a great game today. I know you got the game this afternoon. And then do you get an off day in Miami? Is that how this is going to work?
We do, yes. Yes, wow. Cafecito tomorrow.
Sign me up for that. That sounds like a good little gig right there. Maybe I'll meet you down there. We'll talk to you again soon, Sophia.
Come on down.
Just make sure that she has two queen beds in the hotel room.
The person who just complained about the warm weather.
No, that's not what I said.
I wasn't complaining about the warm weather. I was complaining about the fast progression from the cold weather to the warm weather. Can't I?